Welcome to the Monster Club, an honest look at horror movies from lifelong horror fans. Fair warning, we have seen these titles, you may not have. Spoilers ho! I am Jethel.
I'm Doc.
This week, the Monster Club makes recommendations for all your Halloween viewing. Of course, any horror movie can be watched any time of the year, but these titles are our favorites to watch specifically around Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we don't actually have a top 10 list, but we do have a list of favorites, and we're going to try to keep the spoilers to a minimum in case some of you haven't seen these movies.
Before we start, though, I should mention that Something Wicked This Way Comes is one of my personal favorites, but we already reviewed that movie on the August 2nd edition of this podcast. So if you would like to check that out, go to cinemaunrest.com/club. And that's on the August 2nd podcast.
Something Wicked This Way Comes.
It's an excellent Halloween movie.
Yes, I would say so.
So what are you starting us off with
Let's go with the classic granddaddy of all the Halloween classic films.
This is scary, right? Right? Super scary? Lots of blood?
Terrifying!
Oh my God, what is it?
The Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown!
The Great Pumpkin? Okay. No blood and gore, no spooky ghosts or creatures or monsters, but it's tradition. You have to watch this. If you grew up at all in the 60s, 70s, or 80s, this film is a must.
Yeah, the great Halloween family tradition of Charles Schultz, Charlie Brown and their gang, they're attending their school Halloween party. They venture forth into the night in the name of trick-or-treating, and Linus and Sally await the arrival of the Great Pumpkin.
Mostly Linus.
He's
the big believer.
Yeah, Sally's there because she's in love with her Linus.
She'll do anything for that kid.
The 60s when childhood was innocent.
I love the movie so much. I've always loved the Peanuts specials. Because they always use real kids voicing all the parts. And that always sounded so genuine to me.
Especially when they're kind of slurring their lines and stuff like that because they don't have enunciation.
Right. They sound like kids because they are kids. And I think that's something that's missing a lot of the times from a lot of other stuff.
Okay, so this is one we can both agree on?
Oh, absolutely. It's a must.
It's The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown, 1966.
But it has aged very, very well. And it's a great family fun, you know.
Well, you know, the only thing that really hasn't aged well about it is real life. Because, do you remember back when you can go just trick-or-treating willy-nilly anywhere you wanted?
It's not like that anymore, is
no,
it?
No, it's not.
You always have to have parents with you, ushering you, you know, around, chaperoning you around door to door. And, oh, let's not go down that street. Come on, honey. But, Mom, we aren't tired yet.
And you have to get the candy x-rayed. Why do you have to get the candy x-rayed? Because people are afraid someone's put razor blades in it. You know when that happened? Never.
Really? It was urban legend?
It's an urban legend. I did research on this. There has never been a single solitary case of this actually happening.
I cannot imagine anybody would do that.
So it's an urban legend that ruined Halloween.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on, what is your next pick?
Okay, let's see. A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Ooh,
1984.
Wow. Definitely not for the kids.
And I thought of this one to put on the list because of the recent passing of Wes Craven, of course. Definitely not for kids. And it is laughably bad sometimes, more than genuinely scary. I mean, it's kind of a marathon of the entire franchise. We'd be fun with buddies, you know, at a Halloween party, even to just put on in the background.
You know, though, I'm going to disagree with you on something. The original 1984 Nightmare on Elm Street was actually a fairly serious movie.
Really? I'm going to have to go back and watch it because all the other movies have colored the character for me as a comedy goofball.
Ever since Nightmare on Elm Street 3. Mm-hmm. They gave Freddy one-liners and stuff like that. But the original one, fairly serious, except at the end, where I'm not going to spoil it. I'm just going to say the ending was kind of goofy. But,
okay.
But the whole of the original movie was a serious horror movie. But yes, the sequels did make Freddy into the one-lining jokester.
You know what? One of the later movies that I did like was the one where they broke the fourth wall, and it was taking place in our world.
Yes.
You know, and it was about the movies being made and all
the
actors.
That was Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Right. That I thought was pretty freaking cool.
That was cool.
It was kind of like a love letter to all the fans, wasn't it?
Yes. And you saw Robert Englund as he is in real life. He's, you know, he does painting and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And you saw him doing that in the movie. Okay, so
I'm gonna watch that again now. Okay, so what's next up on our list, Jethel?
Let's see. Well, back to another one that's great for kids. Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus.
1993.
Was that Disney?
Yes, that was a Disney movie.
Another Disney film with darker overtones.
Well, darker overtones, but this one was more of a comedy.
Uh-huh.
Three witch sisters are trying to regain their youth by taking the essence of children.
That's right.
And they get captured by the townsfolk, and then the townsfolk burn them at the... No, they hang them. Sorry, they didn't burn them. They hang them, but the witches put a curse on the town. When someone lights the... When a virgin lights the black candle, we shall return. And...
They turn it into something of a town legend, don't they? That's how the main kid characters learn about the entire thing.
Mm-hmm. And, so comedy ensues as these three witches come back from the grave,
mm-hmm.
and try to capture this boy and his little sister and trying to steal them away. Back when Sarah Jessica Parker was hot. But she's singing this song.
Come, little children, I'll take thee away.
I love Bette Midler.
Midler's awesome.
I love the three personalities of the witches. They were great. They weren't taken seriously. It was good fun.
Okay, so hey, what?
Can you pass me one of those Snickers?
Oh, sure. Here you go.
Oh man, I love these things. Okay. Let's see.
Okay, so what do you got next on your list?
Let's go with something ghosty.
Ghosty.
Poltergeist.
Oh,
1982.
The original 1982 Poltergeist, one of my favorites.
It is one of my favorites too. It's one of the first films I can remember to show a haunting of some kind in a modern, relatable, suburban setting, you know?
And that's one of the things that make it scary. This could have been your family.
Like we were talking about earlier, things are scarier when they're relatable to real life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ghosts just aren't for old, spooky old houses anymore. It could be a house just like yours.
Your family.
Yeah. And so, you know, I mean, it's just a great, enthralling ghost story, and I love that they didn't pull any punches that a child is directly endangered in the story of the movie, and is the entire focus of the movie, you know?
Yep.
I find that too often scary movies kind of wimp out on that. Don't ever kill a child or put a child in horrible danger like that. And this child was literally on the other side, beyond the veil.
Yep.
For a good deal of the movie. And it is one of the, you know, most genuinely creepy and frightening movies done before the ages of CGI. And it was all puppets and creature effects and stuff that. And they did a wonderful job. Wonderful job.
The chemistry.
Yes. Between
these actors, you really felt like they were a family.
I liked it. I liked the bit about the parents sneaking off to the bedroom after the kids are
having a joint.
They just get out their weed box, you know.
The freaky Freelings on the road again. No, sorry, that's Poltergeist 2. But, But yes.
I loved, what's his name?
Craig T. Nelson.
Thank you. Craig T. Nelson is one of my favorite characters in the movie. He makes a very believable father.
Yes.
You know, and I love that. And of course, little Carol Ann. You know? there's something genuinely creepy about little girls. We've always seen that in a lot of horror movies, but even though she's not undead or anything, it's still kind of got that creepy vibe to it. You know, when she turns her head around as she's at the TV and she says that line. Oh man, that line, every single time, chills down the spine, every single time. You know, I just recently, just earlier this morning actually, watched the 2015 remake of Poltergeist.
And what did you think of that one?
I enjoyed it. Okay, so yes, they used CGI instead of, you know, puppet effects and stuff like that. But I really enjoyed it for what it was. It put a new twist on several story elements. And they showed us what it was like inside the portal, you know, inside this other space, this, limbo.
The ethereal plane.
And I did think there were a couple of parts that were done a little bit better in Poltergeist, and there were some that were done better in the remake, you know? So it's kind of like, I think now these are going to be two movies I'm going to enjoy watching back to back and comparing. I love variations on a theme, so I'm never afraid, you know, to watch a remake or make up my mind ahead of time that it's going to suck, because it might not, you know? I don't think this one did. What's next on the list, man?
Okay.
What's next?
Let's see. I was going to see here. So do we want to go fun or do we want to go, ghosty creepy again?
Let's get a fun one in there somewhere.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Ah, boy. You know, I like musicals. We've talked about Rocky Horror before. And I just never... It came out in 75, right? The year I was born. I've heard about it time and time again, but every time, the whole cross-dressing thing, that puts me off. I don't have a problem with any of that. It's just not my cup of tea. And I'm afraid that if I watch it once, I'll really, really like it and watch it again and again for the rest of my life.
I have seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show over 200 times.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
I was in a shadow cast.
And it's one of the only films that has been shown around the calendar for since it came out. There are shows.
The world record holder on that would be Gone with the Wind. It's been playing perpetually at a theater in Atlanta, Georgia, since it was released.
Right. Okay. But that's Gone with the Wind. We're talking about
Rocky Horror Picture Show has been in theaters since 1978 or something like that, because it bombed in the theaters originally.
Really? Now that's unusual. You wouldn't. So it gained kind of like a cult following.
Yeah, gained a cult following for midnight showings and the shadow cast and stuff like that. Only in the early 80s. Okay, so that's Rocky Horror. So that's not your cup of tea.
Now let's talk about something that is, though.
Okay, talk to me, buddy.
I'm going to delve right back into the supernatural. I love a good ghost story, and there are very few ghost stories that are better than The Haunting. There is a 1963 Robert Wise film, and of course there's the 1999 remake.
Mm-hmm.
Both were based on the novel The Haunting of Hill House, a 1959 novel by author Shirley Jackson, considered one of the best ghost story novels of the 20th century. It's really interesting to see these two back to back. You have the old black and white movie and you have the 1999 remake, and see how filmmaking has evolved, you know, to tell the same story essentially two very pretty different ways, you know, but still have a lot of, you know, ties between the two different movies. The modern remake I enjoy watching more, of course, because it's got the, you know, the modern effects.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a genuinely spooky ghost story that's well told and gore free. So it's family friendly if your kids are above a certain age. You know, I'd say what would you say, about 10, 11?
Yeah, something like that. Somewhere they're not going to get freaked out over a little bump in the night type of thing.
Now, as an add-on to this, if you enjoy that, you should also watch Stephen King's Rose Red. This was a 2002 TV miniseries that was originally pitched to Spielberg by Stephen King as a modern remake of the 1963 film The Haunting. And it borrows heavily from that novel, The Haunting of Hill House. So there are a lot of things that are similar between the three movies, or the TV series and the two movies, because they all got based off the same source material. The TV series, of course, doesn't have special effects on par with the movie, the 1999 movie. It relies more on chills than action, but it is a great ensemble cast of memorable characters like only Stephen King can invent. I highly recommend you find it on DVD.
I have not seen Rose Red. I'm going to have to find it on somewhere. Amazon and see if I can...
Yeah, didn't you say that DVD is like $76 or something ridiculous?
But you can get it used for like $5.
Okay, yeah, so definitely.
I will chance a used purchase.
Yeah, I have it on DVD myself. I watch it often. It's good.
I want to check that out. All right.
Yeah, definitely. So what's next from the candy grab bag here?
All right, let's see. How about a Butterfinger?
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Oh, man, I love these. So crunchy.
All right, now, next up we have a more recent addition to my Halloween viewing.
Uh-huh.
It's called Trick or Treat. Now, not to be confused with Trick or Treat, which was a horror slasher type thing made in the 80s, but Tricker... T-R-I-C-K apostrophe R.
You know, I did not realize until looking at the list here that this movie that you're describing was made in 2007.
Yes.
I was thinking of the older movie.
Oh, with Gene Simmons and Ozzy Osbourne? No.
Yeah, I had no idea. Ah, okay.
Now, Trick or Treat is an anthology of mm-hmm. short movies tied together by a common theme, as a small town celebrates the Halloween season and introduces us to the character of Sam.
Sam.
Samhain.
Oh.
Who is, as far as I'm concerned, he is representation of the spirit of Halloween.
Huh.
Or I should say modernized Halloween. He is the spirit of trick-or-treat, as it were. And there are rules to follow during Halloween, and if you break them, Sam's going to make you pay.
Interesting.
Though, if you haven't seen it, my God, see this movie. It's very good. I understand a sequel is in the works. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Honestly, I think this movie stands on its own and doesn't need a sequel.
Well, it's the original director, so...
So it might be okay. It might be okay. Yeah. I'll review it at cinemaunrest.com when it comes out, probably next year. But Trick or Treat, highly recommended.
I'm definitely going to have to check that out. I have never seen it, and I love seeing a scary movie that I've never seen before. What do we have next? How about they made a remake to a 1959 Vincent Price film in 1999 called The House on Haunted Hill.
Yes.
And this one is interesting. Again, it's interesting to compare the two because one, again, is an old black and white film with Vincent Price, and then you have the 99 remake.
I have both of them. I love them both.
Yeah, it's interesting to see.
Doesn't Jeffrey Rush make a great Vincent Price?
It's kind of like it's not literally Price, but his character, which incidentally is named Stephen H. Price. Is it like an interesting homage to Vincent Price without being a literal, like, what do you call it, impression of Vincent Price? It's kind of like what Vincent Price would be like in the late 20th century, you know, young.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. He's got that pencil-thin mustache, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He's just like this, I don't know, it's different enough to be entertaining with having some similarities that are just an interesting wink at the audience. And I love the coffins that the guns come in.
Yes. Tiny little coffins.
Wasn't it the same in the original film? Did they have little coffins?
Yes.
I thought that was interesting. So I'd love to see, like I said before, variations on a theme. So I'd love to see, compare these two side by side. Now, in the original House on Haunted Hill, it wasn't very... Well, okay. Let's just say that the stories diverge as far as the, you know, the stuff that's behind everything that's happening, right?
Right.
So it's interesting to see them start off with the same premise of the original Vincent Price film and then take it off and do a completely different direction. Yeah, so definitely. Gotta watch that every
now,
year.
Now, which do you prefer?
I'd have to say I prefer the modern remake.
Yes, me too.
Just because I like to be scared, and you know, it's while it's interesting to look back at those old black and white films and see how things could be scary. The old black and white film is more of a thriller than a supernatural horror story.
Right, and let's face facts: the effects in 1999 were a lot scarier than the puppet skeleton.
I was just about to. It was a skeleton that floated across the room on a wire, right?
Yes.
That was the. And the thing was that, you know, there was no way to make this look, you know, believable. So it
not back then. No,
it literally was filmed as a way to trick the characters in the movie into being freaked out, wasn't it?
Yep.
It's like, oh, look, this joke that we're playing on the characters here. So. Okay, so what's good couple of ghost stories. What's next? Oh, that one, by the way, unlike The Haunting, definitely has some blood and gore in it. So definitely
yes.
Not it.
And Jeffrey Combs is in it. I love.
Yes, yes, he's good, isn't he? So
he
creepy, so creepy.
Okay, so next on the list, we can't talk about a Halloween list without talking about the 1978 classic. Halloween.
Oh. Ding, 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 now that's ding, the one with the pumpkin, right? That's the pumpkin was the logo of the movie.
Yes.
But didn't actually have anything to do with the movie other than it happening to take place around Halloween, right?
Right. So, years after killing his own sister, Michael Myers, grown up now, returns to his hometown and plagues their Halloween night with creepy, slow-moving death. That's one of the things I really just didn't understand about Michael. How did he kill anybody?
Right!
You could, you know, jog at a moderate pace and keep up with this dude.
Mm-hmm. They parodied that horror movie trope in the Kinosaji, what is it? The incredibly slow murderer with an unbelievably inefficient weapon or something
what?
Like that. I told you about this. I linked you the short film. It's a short film about a supernatural entity that follows this man around walking pace,
right.
Hitting him with big soup spoons. And just hitting him and hitting him and hitting him and hitting him. And the movie is like, in the trailer, you know, they made this goofball trailer for it. The movie is supposed to be like 9 hours long or something. And now they're making an entire, like, fully funded film.
Really?
Out of this, yeah.
Oh, my God. That's going to be hilarious.
I can't wait.
It's like, ow, stop it.
Ow, stop it. Incredibly slow murderer with an extremely inefficient weapon.
Oh, God.
It's, okay.
But, of course, you know, Halloween has, you know, incredibly efficient weapon. It's very slow moving.
Yes. So, yeah, I can't imagine other than, you know... I don't know, falling asleep somewhere that you would eventually fall victim to this guy.
Well, it's kind of like the entity from It Follows.
Yeah, that's another movie that played upon that trope, but in that case, it was a clearly supernatural,
right?
You know,
and Michael Myers, creature. Of course, is just a psychopath.
Now, that's interesting that you mention that, because, okay, he's killed at the end of the movie, right? I mean, obviously.
Or is he?
In the second movie, they go off on a completely different tangent and tell a completely different story. But then for the rest of the Halloween movies, how many were there?
6, I think.
They come back to Michael Myers, and he's going all Jason, where he's just resurrected again and again, isn't he? Or is he different people taking on the...
No, he's the same person, but they just can't seem to fucking kill this guy.
So he just takes on this kind of Jason-like persona, where he's just a guy in a white mask. And you know what's funny about the Halloween movie that you can't unsee once you know it?
What's that?
The mask that he's wearing. It's an old William Shatner mask painted white.
Mm-hmm.
Once you know that, you can't unsee that, and it just cracks me up every time. Oh no, here comes Captain Kirk to murder me with the kitchen knife.
Oh boy.
Funny stuff.
Please stop. I'm trying to murder you.
Hold still, for goodness sake.
Okay. All right. I think the only two things I got left on my list are really good ghost stories. So, oh yeah, it's your turn. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I mean, the only thing left on the list. Let me see here. Okay. Okay. So yeah, let me tell mine. Okay. I see the one you're last. Okay. So the one I'm ending with, another ghost story, The Others. It stars Nicole Kidman, and it is one of the most beautifully told classic ghost stories I've ever seen.
It is awesome.
If you watch it spoiler-free, and don't try too hard to guess the ending like some jerks do, you'll enjoy tingles that only a great ghost story can provide. I will not say anything else about this movie.
No spoilers on this, because it's just too damn good.
It's just too damn good. It's like six. You know, you remember watching Sixth Sense for the first time?
Yep.
And you know, before everyone got jaded and cynical about M. Night's twist endings.
I hate Shyamalan Ding Dong.
I don't. I admire him as a filmmaker. But anyway, okay. So back to The Others. It's a beautiful story, and it doesn't rely on, you know, special effects.
No, there are no big special effects at all that I can remember.
None.
I mean, there's a fade effect.
Yeah.
But that's
so
about
it is a definitely just a really good story.
Absolutely.
It is a solid story, and I'm probably going to watch it again right after we finish this, because now I'm really hyped about watching it. And a few of the other films. So what are we ending off with here,
okay,
Jeff?
We're ending off with my favorite ghost story of all time.
Uh-huh.
If you haven't seen this, you have to.
Okay.
It is 1980s The Changeling.
I think I might have seen this recently, actually. So tell us what The Changeling is about.
Okay. Trying to get on with his life after losing his wife and daughter in a car wreck.
Mm-hmm.
John Russell moves into an old house that is haunted by a spirit who is desperately trying to get his attention.
Okay.
It's a ghost story where the ghost is trying to get this new tenant in house to help solve his murder.
And this is not to be confused with Changeling, the 2008 film.
Oh, no.
Directed by Clint Eastwood.
Oh, man, that was so disappointing. I heard... Oh, The Changeling coming this month. What? They remade The Changeling? And then
nope.
It was a completely different story.
Yep.
But yes, The Changeling, sufficiently creepy as far as I'm concerned. I first saw this movie, God, when I was like 10.
Yeah, this came out in 80.
Yeah, and I was born in 71, so I was like 9. No, I saw it on TV, so maybe I was 10 or 11. But yeah, The Changeling... George C. Scott does such a wonderful job. This is actually a movie I wouldn't mind seeing redone with the right people.
Mm-hmm. That's because, always the thing.
Yeah, if it's done with the right people and not changed into something campy or whatever, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing it redone because this was a made-for-TV movie.
It was?
I believe it was. I've never seen it in the theaters. I'm seeing Changeling.
Yeah.
Changeling 1980. 80. No, it's rated okay. R, so.
Yeah. Yeah, and it got a bunch of awards. Now, you don't usually do that for.
Right, right.
Oh, these are the Genie Awards. For I guess that's what Canadians do for the Oscars, I guess.
And,
I don't
of
know.
Course, I recently, if anyone follows me on Facebook, I recently visited one of the shooting locations. It's supposed to take place in Seattle.
You know, you're in very good company. I'm reading here that director Martin Scorsese placed The Changeling on his list of the 11 scariest horror films of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It really is good. I'm trying not to say too much to spoil it or anything uh-huh. like that. But
yeah, please don't, because now I'm really interested to see this.
See this movie. It is awesome. It really is. This is one of my favorites of all time.
You know, I think it's one of those movies where I've heard about it from time to time and ended up deciding it was too old to look into when I had insomnia. So I'm definitely going to have to look into this.
So I live in Seattle now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reading that it was based in Seattle, so I'm trying to find the filming locations.
Mm-hmm.
And I found one. Unfortunately, the mansion that this takes place in was a set.
Oh, no.
It was, at the time, the largest set, the largest facade that the studio had ever built.
Now, what does that mean exactly?
Oh, a facade means it was just the front of the house. It wasn't a functioning house.
Okay, so...
It was the largest set that they had ever built at that time.
So when you say a facade, you mean that they had an exterior house built, and then the rest of it was on stages?
Yep.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Or the interiors were done in different mansions, from what I understand. Hmm. But the exterior was a completely fake mansion. And that makes me sad, because I really wanted to see it.
Oh, I have to hope that it pops up on either Amazon or Netflix.
The reason I wouldn't mind seeing it remade, because there are a few things I think they could do better nowadays. This is one of the first movies that I can recall that involves EVPs. Electronic voice phenomenon.
Really?
Were they recorded a ghost voice? I think this is one of the first instances of this ever even being attempted in a movie setting, and it wasn't that great. That was like the only thing I didn't like about this movie. It's like, that's obviously someone speaking into a microphone. But I think that could have been done better if it was remade. But, you know, who are you going to get to do a really good representation of it?
You can still buy this on VHS.
Oh my god, well, you want to.
But yeah, it's just $5 on Amazon Prime, so yeah, I'll definitely reel that one in. So if you're wondering, if you just can't make up your mind with all the spine-tingling terror movies, why don't you try out the list that we suggested here? I'm sure you'll find at least one that'll really make the hairs in the back of your neck stand on end.
Okay, so for next week, why don't we do creepy horror movie children?
Yes, let's do that. Let's think up of a list of our favorite movies featuring creepy kids, undead or not.
All right, that sounds good. Okay, well, thank you very much for tuning in to this episode of the Monster Club Halloween Picks. Hopefully you get this in time to put some of these movies on your Netflix queue or get them through Amazon or however it is you're going to get them.
Enjoy.